Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater show. I am your host, Reagan, aka the Man Hater, even though I don't hate men. And this is
Mr. Pick Me, even though I've already been picked.
Do you know why that intro is so good, listeners? Because Cheska was coughing that whole time and was muted.
Can I ask you a question? How long do I have to hold on to this leaf my daughter gave me?
I hold on to everything forever.
She walked into my office. She was like, Dad, I got you this just for you. And normally she'll do that with lots of stuff. And I'll be like, okay. And then she'll forget it exists. She came in like 3 days later and was like, oh, good. You still have the leaf. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is like, apparently got to keep on to this thing.
You don't want to get caught having thrown away something they gave you.
We got in big trouble once because obviously there are extra schoolwork and stuff. Like, what do you do with it? We're not going to hold on to like the 75 papers they bring home a week.
I save it all.
we save like specific things.
But,
like,
I should be more specific. Yeah.
So we're very specific. We save like the art.
Yes.
And things like that. But like all like the worksheets and shit. Like,
yeah, that's when they get older and you're like, whatever. Yeah.
And so we threw them all out, and it was like the garbage was full, or the recycling was full 1 week. Mm-hmm. And so it was on top. But it was like so much in there that I just kind of shoved it in there without thinking. And we left for school. And she was like, Dad, why are my papers in there?
That literally happened on Bluey.
Oh,
that exact
no,
scenario.
I don't know how that happened.
But then they're like, he's like, oh, well, the papers that go in the blue bin get recycled, and then people can draw more, kids can draw more drawings on them. So they have a new life.
Yeah. I was not that quick. I was just like, oh, no, I don't know what happened here.
Who did that?
There must have been a ghost or a goblin that threw it in there.
You've got goblins in the house. Oh, no.
That's better, right? I'm going to tell you that there are real goblins that exist in our house that are stealing your papers.
Can I tell you something bizarre?
Sure.
Also, if you hear weird noises, we're both coughing, and Chesco's 3D printer is working in the background, and it sounds like a film-style sound effect of a gust of wind. Yes. So, just so you know, my sister saw Gremlins at too young of an age, like one of those secret, like, hid behind the couch so she could catch it.
I'm not going to judge. I saw Nightmare on Elm Street when I was 5.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
No, I just mean she was too young to watch it. And
mine was because I had a bad father. So different circumstances.
Different strokes for different folks.
I was like, hey, he's fine. As I had nightmares for the next.
Well, that's what happened. She had nightmares for like years that there was a troll that lived in the grocery store. Because I guess she was so little, she didn't know what she was watching. So she's like, oh, those are trolls. And so literally for years, she had this reoccurring. She's probably like, please stop sharing my information. She had this reoccurring nightmare of a troll that lived in the grocery store that would come out and get you.
All right.
Because you were talking about goblins.
No, I wasn't judging you.
Can literally, like, kids will hold on to things and it will have weird consequences.
My worst was Chucky came out right when My Buddy Dolls were big. And so every time I go to my buddy, I'd be like, I'd be staring at that bad boy like, what is he's gonna
don't you dare!
He's coming for me. I don't know. I saw all the scary movies growing up, and it affected me as a child. There was a certain point in my life where scary movies stopped making me scared. I don't know what it is. I think it might have been like when my brain finally accepted that ghosts aren't real. Like that when I finally clicked over to actual skeptic versus like, it sounds about right. I can't remember what year it was, but like literally the only things that I find like scary now are like episodes where, or not episodes, but like shows where it's like real. Like it could be real.
Yeah.
It's not like this. It's not like it. Where I'm not worried about a clown from space.
That is real.
Like a magic clown from space being able to, or from another dimension, whatever. I forgot the exact explanation that is going to come down. That doesn't scare me. But like there was an episode
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Oh.
No, well, yeah, that too. But Supernatural. Was like where there was like these people that were like living in the walls of his house, and like that were like, but and it turns out they weren't supernatural. It was just people. And I remember, yeah, and in that one, I was like, oh, God, this was very creepy because I could totally see something like that happening.
You know what, Twist? And then we'll get to anything that has to do with this episode. Did you ever see, I saw this, I think I might have been an adult when this came out, The Boy?
No.
So The Boy is a scary movie. Who is in it? She plays Maggie on The Walking Dead, I think.
Okay.
Anyways, so the whole, this is a spoiler. If you want to watch The Boy, please don't listen to this.
Fast forward 20 seconds if you don't want to hear this boy spoiler.
For The Boy. But basically the whole thing is she goes to babysit this child in England for a summer, like nanny it while the parents are away. And the parents are significantly older when she gets there, which you're like, oh, that's it. But like older. Like grandparent age. And then she goes in to meet the child. He's like, this is Brahms. And it's a doll.
Okay.
And she's like, Oh, you're insane. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. So then she's like, whatever, I'll just make this money. She's like trying to get away from her evil ex. And so she is babysitting and like shit starts moving and things are happening. And you're like, this is a haunted doll, or like the soul of their son is in the doll or something weird. You very much think the doll is possessed by the spirit of this boy. And this is not a good boy, by the way. Mm-hmm. Homicidal boy. And then her ex comes and finds her in England and is going to take her away. And she, like, asks for help from Brahms. And long story short, this mother chucker bursts through the walls because it's a grown man. It's the boy. It's the evil boy has been living in the walls and is just a grown man who's been moving the doll around. And I was like, oh, hell no. I was like, absolutely not.
That's freaky.
It's so freaky. He has a doll mask on. Apparently, allegedly, I'm not sure if this is true. Allegedly, people have said that the actor was actually kind of attractive. And so they added the doll face because people were like, oh, okay, Brahms, like, go in my walls. But because he's built. Like, I don't know why they – I guess they wanted him to be a physical threat. But right, he's, like, a built man in a green sweater with, like, chest hair who's kind of – as, you know, lesbian opinion here. But he looked attractive under the mask. Anyways, but it was like – to me, I was like, that's fucking horrifying. Because you've just – like, as a woman, you've just come to terms with the fact that there's a demented doll, like a haunted ghost. It's a motherfucking creeper in the wall. Who's been just, and she finds a doll in his secret room. Like, it's like a stuffed up, it's like he stole her dress and there's a wig. And like, he's been Lord knows what with the fake version of her in the walls.
Wow. All right. Ugh. So there we go. There's the key to a scary movie is people living in walls.
That's what I agree. People coming out just like my.
There was a movie. Wasn't it like called The People in the Walls? Or there was a probably. Scary movie
there's been a couple
like
movies. Well, and that like my the one of the scariest. I was definitely a Are You Afraid of the Dark kid. Was I when loved it. There was this goopy.
The People in the Walls was a movie. Well, it was sorry.
Not that one, but there you go. There was this goopy like guy that like went through the pools. And he would like come through like the vent in the pool or like the you know at the bottom of the filter or whatever it is, and he would like come in and kill you and then like goop around. I was like, hell no. Yeah. That one scared the crap out of me because I'm like, I'm gonna be in a pool and the goopy guy's gonna get me. But it's people coming into things they shouldn't be in.
I was younger at that point enough that stuff still like all of those still scared me. I loved them. Snick at Night, Saturday Night Nickelodeon.
Is that when it was playing?
That wasn't originally when it came out. Yeah. I don't know if you're younger than me, so it might have been different time.
I wasn't allowed to watch it. I was behind the couch.
Okay. I was there for like the original Are You Afraid of the Dark when it came out, like debuted.
I probably wasn't then.
Let me see when it came out.
But I was like, I was literally like, I would hear the music and my older siblings watching it, and I was like, like sneaking around. And then I had nightmares. And this has nothing to do with our show.
1992.
Oh, yeah. No, I was.
I was a baby.
I was literally
10 years old when that came out. I was like the target audience for it.
Crazy.
Of, you know, you'd watch TGIF on Friday and then Snick on Saturday night.
Snick at night.
I don't know how we had it. We didn't have cable.
I don't know.
But Nickelodeon was a cable. I don't understand how
you saw it somehow.
I saw it somehow. The pinball one was the one that got me.
Oh, I don't remember the
pinball. You saw that? It was like this guy that like they got stuck in a pinball.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. Oh, did you ever see, I feel like this might have been a Twilight Zone, but it could have been an Are You Afraid of the Dark, where there's like an earworm thing. And like it would get in your, it would crawl and mm-hmm. they had these little caterpillar shit and they would put it in your ear and crawl and eat your brain and then take you over.
No.
I was fucking terrified of thing getting in my ears after that.
See, I was thinking, I'm thinking of like a babblefish from the number 42. I can think of the most important secret of the universe. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm like, stay out of my ears.
They had that in Star Trek too.
Must be a
It's a creepy
theme.
Thing. A worm people in walls and things your brain. In your ears. There we go. Sticking stuff in your ear. Like a worm crawling in your ear sounds kind of scary.
No, absolutely not.
All right.
Anyways, so what are we talking about today that's not any of the things we've talked about thus far?
Did we decide based on those two that I showed you, or did we just say, yeah, let's do it?
Let's do them both.
Okay.
So what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about bad husbands and body shaming. Theme song.
It's time. Mr. Pygmy and Man Hater to talk all the shit. So grab your popcorn, thank me later. Don't want to miss it. Yay!
Yeah. So this first one, I'll send you the video so we can put it here. Play here. For people that are not watching, because it's not a spoken one, it's a visual one. It's a woman. She's wearing like an exercise kind of outfit, like a tube top, but like a crop top, like a smaller crop top. He's like the husband's like giving her a shirt to put on over it, and he says, when he asks you to put a shirt on, you're feeling slut shamed. I'm feeling loved. First off, the irony and the funny thing and the performativeness of the fact that if she really cared about the world not seeing her in that outfit,
why would she post
why
herself?
Would you put a video of yourself in the outfit covering yourself up? Like there's that's to me that makes this such a I'm like, was this meant to be like a joke?
I know, you do have to take a beat and look at it real close.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? It's the same shit as when women will get on the internet who are clearly influencers and have a business of making content and be like, women shouldn't work. And women should only have then what are you doing here? Get off the internet, girl.
And she's clearly making more money than her husband.
I know. Start making that sourdough. Get into the kitchen.
I think that's why it's also important. This is, we'll get back to the video in a second, but to what you brought up, why it's important to talk about even content creation as a job. And what it goes into it and the work that goes into it. Because I do think that the narrative of saying, oh, this isn't a real job, you're not doing real work, you're not doing anything, is it feeds into this notion that women that are working, because there are more women creators demographically there are more women that are influencers and creating content online, at least at one point there was. I'm assuming I can Google the stat if I need to, but I think that's part of it why it's downplayed. Anything that is considered to be the realm of women, it has to be downplayed. It's not a real job. It's not tough work. It's not hard work.
Well, it's so lucrative. That's the other part is I don't think everybody understands to have the followings that they have, with the responsiveness that they have, with the brand deals that they're doing, creators like that, it's a full-time job. They're absolutely working all the time.
I was right, by the way. It said 72%, the stat I'm finding, of influencers are women.
Nice. The lifestyle that they portray and the things they tell women to do is not actually the life that they lead.
Right.
And oftentimes they are participating in the rights and privileges that, feminism has fought to gain for them. They're using that to then tell people, you don't need those rights, actually, which I think is pretty ironic.
It reminds me of this false line reality of what is real versus what they say is happening.
Sure.
It reminds me of I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I only watched some clips of it, of the Into the Manosphere documentary. Have you seen it?
I have seen clips of it. I'm a little bit torn about it, but I know what it is.
I haven't watched it. I don't have any strong opinions about it until I watch it. I am going to force myself to watch it. But one of the clips I saw, or two of the clips I saw, was what the guys when they're around their wives mm-hmm. or their long-term partners, and they're like, "Well, I could cheat," and they're like, "It's all like they're like, oh, and she'd accept it," and you could tell she's like,
"No." She's like, that's not what you say in private.
She knows. And that's, you could tell that this was like, what's funny is like, she knows that that's the business, that they have to say this to feed their incel, you know, misogynist fan base. Mm-hmm. But even in that sphere, you could tell they were like, I wouldn't, you like, no, I'm leaving if that's, if you do that.
What I found fascinating, my objections with it are solely because the idea that these are new thoughts, diving into something new, and how men now are responding to a documentary made by a man when they have not listened to a word by women. Like, women have been told they're exaggerating. Women have been screaming from the rooftops what's been going on, particularly from the manosphere, what they've been, you know, the abuse they've been forced to withstand online and whatever else. Mm. And now that a man is saying it, they're like, did you guys see this? I've seen at least 10 videos from men being like, I had no idea this was going on. And you're like, what?
How?
On the flip side of that, I don't think a woman in that position would have ever gotten the footage that he got, because I don't think they would have revealed. There was a very a strong feeling of, I think these dudes thought, it's Louis Theroux, is that right?
Yeah, Louis Theroux.
Okay. I think they thought there was a quote-unquote bro code, and I think his nonchalant attitude helped them believe that, whereas they were saying stuff that I honestly think they thought would hit the cutting room floor.
Right.
That they would, like, where they're like, oh, no, it's fine. I remember Myron Gaines, I saw this clip, probably what you're talking about, where he was talking with his girlfriend at the time, who they're not together now, shocker.
Oh, did they break up since that was filmed? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And it's basically that that they're participating in monogamy one way, which is that he gets to sleep with whoever and she can't.
Right.
And he's like, well, he's so gung-ho about it. And then she enters frame, and then all of a sudden he's a lot more relaxed. He's like, well, you know, we might do that. We don't know. We're like, we could in the future. And you can tell he's like tripping over himself to not get in trouble with his girlfriend. And there's things that Louis says there where he's like, oh, I'm sorry, should I not have brought that up? He's like, no, it's fine. It's cool. It's not a big deal. That, like, I don't think those guys expected him to use all that footage, because they don't use all that footage. Like, there's, for those guys, like, they're on and they're off. And so the footage they show is only when they're on. And I feel like there's a false perception that that's how Louis was going to be, where, like, they could say these things to him kind of in the side and that wasn't going to be used. And that was false. And I think now they're really pissed, because it really highlighted the pageantry, basically, of the manosphere, which is that these aren't who these men are. It's a grift. And so for that reason, I think only a man was ever going to be able to portray that, because I don't think those men would have trusted a woman in that way. Like, I don't think they would have had those off-the-cuff kind of comments, because they are so performative. But anyways, what the fuck are we talking about with that?
No, I think the point, the disconnect from real life versus what goes on in these videos.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's exactly it. It's they are not these dudes. They don't even believe these things. And it's the same thing with these influencers. Like, they don't live the lives they're telling you to do. They aren't these like shy homesteaders who never leave the house. They're like, women, you should be more quiet, as they talk to millions of people online. It's just like, it's this wild hypocrisy. And like the woman you were showing, I'm looking at her page now, and it's like she's wearing a sports bra. And she's clearly religious, which is not a shocker, because that's a thing that the whole cover up thing is very common.
And also, she has videos all over her page wearing
a sports bra.
Yeah. So it's not like it's actually.
Well, right. This doesn't happen to her. That's the thing.
Right.
Like, he's working. The video is him working on his car and then pulling out a shirt, which is bizarre, because where did that shirt come from? And then, I'm his prize, not his possession, is the caption. That ideology is so strange to me. Like, a prize is still a possession.
And like, both, I was like, neither of those, it's not like one of those is counter to the other.
You're not a human in either. You're not a partner. You're not an equal. You're not a peer. I prefer to
be objectified in this way.
I want to be the award. I'm not just an object. I'm a fancy good object.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. It's like, oh, I'm okay with it pushing this idea so that women who are in these controlling, domineering relationships where their partner is deciding what they wear, what they do, mm-hmm. who they hang out with, et cetera, mm-hmm. so that I can justify, even though I clearly don't accept that in my life.
100%.
Yeah, I'm comfortable oppressing others just not, as long as I'm not being oppressed.
This is not what she's doing. Like, she's clearly comfortable being in this exact outfit. The pinned video is her in a bra.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sports bra, which, like, there is no problem with that. But when you're saying that your husband doesn't force you to throw on a shirt, so all you're doing is, like, it's like more virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling, yeah. That, it's absolutely that.
This feels like trying to attract men. I don't know how many women would be pleased. Oh, my God, I've watched this reel too many times. Ah! Oh, my God, my algorithm's going to be a mess. Oh, God. Okay, hopefully that didn't do too much damage. It's going to be like, oh, so you're into making women put on clothes and controlling them. I don't ever think control is love. I think it's very, very dangerous.
Absolutely not.
To push that
idea.
And, like, again, it's always, like, big picture because they'll do, like, this small thing, but then when you push it outward, it is the idea that your husband gets control over all these aspects of your life, and that's because he loves you. It's not control. It's not abuse.
I care about you.
I care about you.
The funniest thing, too, if you were to, like, buy into her logic, obviously we've critiqued it. We think it's absurd. But if he says that to me, I feel loved, being as he's not saying it to her because her entire channel has her, does that mean he doesn't love her?
Oh, like, my God. No,
it's different in my – it's different here – because he respects me. Something there?
Yeah. Again, it's a hustle. Like, I hope everyone can recognize it at this point. Like, pay attention.
Expecting, like, any sort of moral consistency is absurd.
There was a recent one that kind of duped me a little bit. There was a woman, and she presented, like, feminist to me. But she had, like, chop bangs, you know, straight across bangs.
Sure.
And so that was, I was like, oh, she's a feminist. But she was talking about the fact that if you hate women and children, that's not feminism, that's internalized misogyny. And she got a ton of views. Mm. I saw that video and I was like, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Mm. If you hate it, just to hate it.
Yeah. There was a psychologist I saw that made a really psychiatrist, therapist, somebody in the psych industry that said that he was like, and this is a queer black man that made this saying that hating kids is a type of bigotry, and I don't think we talk about it enough.
Hold on, because there's a twist.
Yeah, anyways, that was related to that.
But I think not wanting kids, not wanting to have kids.
Completely different situation.
Not wanting to be, not liking being around kids. I've known plenty of people. That's
completely
totally fine.
Different. That is completely different.
But, like,
that is not what we were talking about.
And, like, hating, like, there are people who, like, hate everything about motherhood, who make mothers feel bad. Mm. Like, there's, like, social sanctions that a lot of mothers face that I do think is part of internalized misogyny.
So I just want to be clear. There is a very big difference. What I'm talking about is when people say, like, oh, kids shouldn't be allowed on airplanes, kids shouldn't be allowed at restaurants.
Right.
You are not entitled to a child-free world, right? You are absolutely, I've made probably a dozen videos applauding people for the responsible decision to not bring kids into a home where they're not wanted or loved or supported. That is a responsible decision.
Yes.
If you know that your life is not one for kids, that does not mean you have the right to dictate to other people that they cannot have children, that they cannot exist in public spaces with their kids. That pisses me off so much. And that shouldn't be a controversial opinion either.
No, anyways, I don't think it is. But I think, you know, in the same vein, so many people get shit for being child-free when I'm like, unless you want to get desperately and badly, don't have one. That's my opinion. No. Like, because I think about how much, like, being a parent, if I did not want this child so much, it's so difficult. Anyways, this is not even the point.
Yeah. This is us giving parentheses of, once again, to justify an entire,
So I saw that video and my assumption was like, oh, that's a good take. That's a feminist take. It ends up this woman is like a weird, like, I mean, I shouldn't say weird, but is like anti-birth control, like, only you should use, you should take your temperature to know when you're going to get pregnant. Like all these things that are like not as reliable and like shaming birth control. Like
the rhythm method and everything.
She's very like homesteady, very that side. And so I was like, damn, because how she presented in that video was not at all what she really says on her page. And that was like, I have, that's one of the first times I've had a reverse one like that. I was like, oh shit, you're like, you're pushing this to like ease people into the way that you believe things, which that's what a lot of this is. When you see these things, they seem like that. This one, I don't think is a reasonable take. I think it's very clear what's going on, but there are a lot of influencers that will put on like kind of like lukewarm takes to get people aligned with them or to like get people to maybe follow them. And then they start pushing.
Well, I mean, that's the entire manosphere. The entire manosphere is pipeline content to extremist beliefs, right? There's a reason why you'll see 12 videos that are like, it sucks to be dumped. It sucks to get turned down. It hurts your feet. And like I'll go through these guys' pages and like three-fourths of their things aren't unreasonable. They're like, hey, if you want to work, you know, it really is good for you to go to the gym and blah, blah, blah. It's not like, yeah, it is. It can be good for you if you want to work out at the gym.
Right.
If you want to do certain things, working on yourself, working on, none of that is the negativity. But then it'll be like this random video in the middle that'll be like, and so white genocide is blah, 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 blah. And then it'll move forward. And people watching it will be like, whoa, what was that?
What was that?
Anyways, okay, back to the stuff I agree with. Back to the stuff I agree with.
Right.
Honestly, interestingly enough, that's fucking exactly what Scott Galloway does, just in a different way, where he'll say, very reasonable liberal take, liberal take, liberal take, liberal take, where I'm like, I agree with 75% of what you said. Also, isn't childbirth weird? Isn't it weird? The husbands don't do anything for the first 6 months. I didn't. Like, you know, you should go to gay clubs to pick up on women.
That like, one was bad.
Yeah, but he throws in like, and I have a whole list on a worksheet somewhere where I was like listing all, because whenever someone says, no, you're taking them out of context. And I was like, all right, what about this? Well, I mean, two things. Okay, here's all these other horrific things. Anyways, I don't want to make this about Scott Galloway again.
Again.
I talk about him enough on my own page about how it annoys me. But there is no difference. Right. It's the exact same shit where they package these beliefs in a very reasonable, you know, it's a very nice brown paper bag package that, you know, you could buy it at Macy's, and then you open it up and you're like, oh, God, pile of shit. Right.
Angry pile of shit.
That was the worst analogy I've ever
done. No, it was very beautiful imagery. From Chesco.
You know how one buys brown paper packages from Macy's? You know how that's as one does? You know, when you go there and you buy
these. And you surprise, don't know what's in
you
it?
You don't know what's in it. You just buy these surprise packs, right? As a normal human being who shops at Macy's and at department stores.
Mm-hmm. Is it Macy's
shut down?
We all shop
at malls now. We all go to, I don't know, is it JCPenney's? Woolworth's?
Yes. Flawless, truly flawless. Yeah, no, I think I haven't been fooled like that in a long. I didn't engage with the content, but when I saw that take, I was like, oh yeah, that's good. But I was like, oh, ew, what? It's and like I just hate when someone throws something out in the hopes to mislead you into something else. Right. And I think something that a lot of us have the benefit of. If you've been online a lot, or if you, a lot of neurodivergent people have this, but like intense pattern recognition, like I think you and I are in this camp where it's like, I'll see somebody say something like, oh, okay, so you're a manosphere person. Like, oh, okay, so this is this. I don't know that everybody else either knows the signs or has gone through enough content to pick it up so quickly. And so things that I think are obvious to a lot of us that are secretly red pill or pink pill now, like trying to kind of like secretly get people into misogyny and gender norm, whatever. I think a lot of people don't off the bat pick up on, and that's why they're so dangerous. And like, yeah, it's definitely really dangerous to be saying to women, He does that because he loves you. Because mm-hmm. you know the argument is then going to be, you're the prize, so other men shouldn't look at you. Mm-hmm. So you're being punished because of what men are doing. Mm-hmm. You need to adjust your behavior to the men around you, because God forbid the men around you ever change mm-hmm. their bad behavior. It's always mm-hmm. got to be the woman who's adjusting. And how modesty is the answer to, you know, men being inappropriate or...
Right.
Making advances at women in public places.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the same thing, too. Like, because they'll also then, the next week, the next time it'll be, I don't think you should hang out with that group of friends anymore. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, I don't think you should hang out with women in, or men in general. There should never be a man around you.
Yep.
And then even like in it's by the end of that pipeline, you're like not even able to see your family anymore. Like there's been so many instances you see this where it's a very slow thing where if they tried doing any of the things they end up doing at the end, it would in the beginning, that would be absurd, but it's a very like little, he's doing because he loves me. Right. And that's justification for so many horrific things. Like we don't need to get too trauma heavy, but those words have been used to justify some really horrible things.
Now that I think about it, I feel like so many of these influencers are using an abusive tactic because it's like, it is that little thing where it's like, oh shit, well, I'm just going to do this small thing at first. And now that we've done that, well, let me show you this view. Let me try it's like they slowly mm-hmm. are, you know, it's like the slow boil. Mm-hmm. If they throw you into the pot in a boil, like is it crabs or lobsters in the scenario? But if it's a slow boil, you don't notice it. If it's boiling hot when you hit the water, you're going to get out.
Right.
But like a lot of these influencers do use the slow boil tactic mm-hmm. because the thing that you need to know is those ideologies are lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, as much as Manosphere people are selling you content, I think a lot of like the Tradwife content, like they're selling you their videos. They're making mm-hmm. money off videos. They make money off courses. They make money off merch. But those ideas are so restrictive that mm-hmm. when you're in it, you need to be in that bubble. There has to mm-hmm. be content in that bubble to stay in it. If you mm-hmm. were getting views from everybody, you probably wouldn't stay there. Mm-hmm. Like, so it... There's a function of it because once they get you in the bubble, you're going to consume more of their content because you have to be really deep within that ideology in mm-hmm. order to stay there. And so it's just kind of sick because it's like they get you into this cycle where they know that you're going to need to keep watching to stay mm-hmm. where you are. You're going to need, because there's going to be like your own internal feelings telling you something's not right. Other people noticing like, hey, he doesn't treat you well, or hey, he's really controlling. And so they know you're going to keep watching my stuff because mm-hmm. that's the way that this is. You have to keep being inundated with this kind of gaslighting
content. A lot of these things are just giant MLMs too. Like the Manosphere is basically just an MLM.
I mean, it is an MLM.
Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, it's just that's kind of, it's kind of like it fits the diagnostic criteria, right? Like it's and that's all it is. But they're like, hey, we can make money off of male insecurity and male fragility.
Nobody hates men more than the Manosphere guys. Mm-hmm. They bank mm-hmm. on it, quite literally. They mm-hmm. bank on the fact that you're insecure. They bank on the fact that they can sell you courses mm-hmm. to get women. And when you don't get women, because you won't, not with the things they're saying, they can say, oh, well, women suck.
Mm-hmm.
That's and why.
If I say that we as men are capable of being better, I hate men. I guess I hate men in the status quo. I do hate a lot of guys in the status quo that are willing to subscribe to these old world ways I provide money. You provide literally everything else that have not been willing to.
Right.
I believe men are able to evolve. Like the idea, and I think it's part of my issue. I keep bringing up Scott Galloway again though too. I think that's what's so frustrating is that's the notion of him and all the other Manosphere people, which he is a part of, is just, it's not how do we actually become better men. It's how mm-hmm. do we fit this old mold of what was a good man better, right? How do we make that more popular again?
I also saw a couple videos today. I can't remember who they were from. If I remember, I'll put it in the notes, but, there was a video that was talking about the fact that there's like research now that a lot of the younger men are subscribing to like old ideologies and like traditional roles and that women need to obey, like those type of ideas. And that it's a lot of it seems to stem from the fact that so they're like losing privileges and capital. And they're blaming that on women and that's why women need to be controlled. Like them making less money, they can't handle the fact that that's happening or that they're not thriving or succeeding. And they're equating that to the fact that, well, women have equal rights. It's like,
I have an essay on that on Substack I wrote like a year ago. Yeah. That's
Well, there's studies. Yeah. There's some studies, I guess, that have just come out about it. And it's so true because it's like,
talk about seeing patterns ahead of time, right?
Look at you.
There you go.
Recognizing that pattern. Yeah. But it's this idea that they cannot handle the fact that, like, you are failing in the system. That is essentially set up for you. You are failing. And it's like, well, the problem must be the women. It's like, no. And the other thing that I think infuriates men, I don't think a lot of men, especially like from the older generations, I don't think they thought women would succeed like they do. Just like I don't think they thought people of color would succeed. Like even when given equality, I honestly think they thought, but we'll still be ahead because they're not as good as us. And now they're seeing that given even close to more equal treatment and equal opportunity. And we're not even there. We're clearly not there yet. You know, women are outpacing men, like people of color are getting opportunities to the point that now they're like, well, no DEI, please, because they're recognizing, maybe we aren't just the best on our own.
Can I say the worst thing about it? So there's a stat that, a person that I'm not going to mention again brings up all the time. 60% of people graduating from college are now women. Like, and that number is rising. And like under the age of 30, women are, there's a lot of studies that will show women are actually making slightly more, but usually it's about equal to men, showing that, like, you know, women are despite, and his point is like, despite, all of these like educational, negatives for men who are like not going to college now, and an education system that's set up not for not to help boys. It's a whole thing. I can go on for a while, but that'll be a whole episode. There's, you know, now we're actually seeing that our boys don't have the same privileges as people like when I was young. And I was like, did you hear what you just said? You just said women are out over-educated, like educating more, getting more degrees, starting more businesses, doing all these other positive things. Yet, and this is another stat he throws in there that just gets brushed under, once you hit 30, it becomes disparate again because women start having, once women have children, is what it is then all of a sudden, then they stop, they end up getting pushed out of the workforce. They end up not getting promotions. They end up not getting pulled on for higher positions. And that's what pisses me off when people are always like, well, no, if you look at people at the same company working, it's actually not that much different. It's a matter of this, the higher paying companies are not hiring the women because of those situations. There is still sexism. And that's why you look at a bigger thing than just single companies.
Also, the other thing that kills two things coming. Yeah. One, it's the idea that it's normal and great when men were doing better than women. There really wasn't a problem. There's no problem with that when they know, got better jobs, got paid more, got more respect, had more opportunities. That wasn't a problem. It's only a problem when women start to outpace men,
or even when they're equal. This is a crisis.
Right.
Men are in crisis right now because women and men under 30 are making roughly the same amount of money. This is a crisis.
What is this if not misogyny?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, women are outpacing us in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. This must be a problem because there is no world in their minds in which just solely based on their own abilities, a woman is outpacing a man. It has to be a crisis. It has to be a problem. It has to be a failure.
It takes 60% of women receiving degrees versus 40% of men to get to an equal playing field. And yet, and it's still not equal until the age of 30, once again, because we still have all these structural mm-hmm. issues that punish women for having families or choosing to have children. Sorry, I don't want families can be more than just children, but choosing to have children. And yet, it's a fucking crisis, and we need to do mm-hmm. something. And that's what people know. That's where the pattern comes in, right? The underlying theme is we need to get back to the point where men are the ones in power, where men are the ones at all stages of life dominating every field.
Because why is that a problem? If that historically mm-hmm. has been true for men forever, why is it a problem that women are doing it? Like, when the sole difference is women are not being held back. That's the thing. It's the same thing with people of color. It's not that they're being given extra. It's that we are no longer withholding rights and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even there yet. We haven't even the playing field, but we've evened it closer. Like, it's closer mm-hmm. now.
I think part of it, and this goes back, I was on Suzanne Lambert's podcast, mm-hmm. Mean But True, and I said, like, a lot of the male loneliness crisis is a self-inflicted wound. But I think you go back to this too. I think with education is a perfect example. Like, the study after study, education is the one consistent thing that helps people get out of poverty, right? Sure. It's not a guarantee, right? It does not mean there's a lot of people that get degrees and still are in poverty. That is not a guarantee. Sure. But structurally, it's the one consistent thing that helps people earn more money and climb to another wealth class in our mm-hmm. in this country specifically. That's been the only consistent thing. What happened is, I think for so long, it became clear that men didn't need to do the work to still get those privileges, still get jobs, mm-hmm. still make that money, that now it became the norm. Like, oh, you don't need to go to college, man. And so it becomes this talking right. point within this the manosphere kind of culture of, like, telling guys, no, you shouldn't go to school. You need to start a business. You need to do X, right. Y, and Z. But now that our culture is shifting where that's they not enough, like it. it's like, oh, fuck. And yet it's shifting to the point, once again, where things are equal.
Right. But they don't like it.
That's the crisis. And that's, I'm like, do you not understand how, and so we can evolve as men.
It's maddening to me, because it's not like something bad is happening. The only thing that's happening is, like, in this case, we're talking women versus men. Women aren't being held back anymore, and they're thriving. They're thriving. Mm-hmm. That's what the problem is. That's literally what they're objecting to. Mm-hmm. Because that's the difference. Men, it's not that men aren't being held back in any way. There's nothing been mm-hmm. taken from men. If anything, mm-hmm. arguably, despite the fact that we're thriving more, mm-hmm. there have been rights taken from women. There's nothing right. that's happened to men.
Yeah, they can also still go to college.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point. Well,
it's like, I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, when mm-hmm. you look at I don't want to get too far out of my lane, but like, you look at DEI, and like, this has always pissed me the fuck off. They mm-hmm. literally had to set things into place mm-hmm. to force people to not be racist. Mm-hmm. That is what it is. This is like after forever of mm-hmm. racism happening to people of color, not being given opportunities, you know, bosses seeing the race of the applicants and mm-hmm. throwing them in the trash. Like, literally mm-hmm. that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That was put into place to try and balance all this negative shit that's been happening to people of color. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's all that is an attempt at evening the playing field. Mm-hmm. It has never been about giving them more mm-hmm. than everybody else. There is no fucking way, after the hundreds of years of things that we've done to mm-hmm. people of color as a nation, mm-hmm. that we will ever even the playing field. This is a baby, tiny step at evening, right?
It's not you must hire these less qualified people.
Right!
You must be willing to consider these just as qualified.
Yes, individuals. You must also look at, and let's be real, when we look at, like, education and the barriers to education. When you look at the, mm-hmm. I mean, statistically, you can look at it, the barriers towards people of color with education, with opportunity, in sport, like, there's so many things. So mm-hmm. for someone to get, and I, same thing with women, like, mm-hmm. to get to where you are, you have to be better. You mm-hmm. have to be, to even be considered to get there. You have to overcome things that the white man, white cis man mm-hmm. does not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, by the time you get there, mm-hmm. you probably are a little bit better.
Right.
Because if you're equal to them, then you're probably a little bit better. That's,
right.
That's my opinion. Anyways.
The only way you can look with that, if you actually like read what DEI is, right? If you look at even what affirmative action, like any of these policies that were created to counter social inequality or structural inequalities in our society, if you actually look at what they do and what they say, the only way to be against them is if you believe that white people are inherently better than other races,
Right?
If you believe that men are better, inherently smarter than women. Like, that's the only way. Like, once again, I'm not saying based on what the rhetoric online is by conservative spaces. If you actually read the policies, and as someone, like, as a professor, I go through trainings of these policies all the fucking time, so I'm very familiar with them. There's nothing controversial in any of them. Mm-hmm. It's just they're put in plaque. And if anything, places with these policies in place end up getting higher quality work because they're hiring the best people for the job now, as opposed to this small quality of people that their dads knew each other or that had connections at the company from previous generations.
It just makes me so mad because I'm like, they're acting like, oh, they're just given things. It's like, no, you just can't prevent them now. Like, that's what it is. You can't stop them based on their race. Mm-hmm. Like, and it drives me insane because, like, we are seeing the effects, like, with women as well, of what happens when they are not being held back the ways that they have been before and how they thrive under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now they're like, whoa, wait a second. When I said I wanted to be equal, I didn't want you to be doing better than me. I didn't think you would ever have more skills than me. I didn't think you'd ever be better at this job than me. Mm-hmm. That didn't even enter my mind. They never
speak out about, like, legacy admits.
Right.
Like the colleges. They're like, whoa, that's different. Right.
That's history.
The definition of, like, what they're claiming DEI is.
Yes.
Is what legacy admits are, right? Yeah. It's people getting in that do not have, and honestly, it's what the status quo is in business, where people are being hired on because, once again, family connections, because of whether it's your actual family or friendships, or, you know, maybe you went to a fraternity with this person, right? It's all of the stuff that they're claiming DEI is causing is what the status quo does.
You remember this? Sorry, this might be way off, but we'll have to let it go. Remember Stockton Rush, the guy who did Ocean Gate?
No.
The submarine?
Let me look.
The submarine that went to the Titanic and exploded?
Sorry. Yes.
Wasn't that Ocean Gate?
I didn't know that was his name. Yeah, sorry.
Stockton Rush is his name.
Stuck on Stockton Rush.
Yeah, it's a very white. Well, his family had two signers of the Constitution, and he was a fucking legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And his grades are interesting. And it's like, and then, like, he is a prime example of it, where it's like everybody just tells you, yes, you can do that. And he would just say things and people would be like, okay. Mm-hmm. And people would object and he would financially crush those people. Mm-hmm. And so he ends up in a horrible situation that everybody who knew what was up but didn't have power to stop it said was going to happen. And he did it. For those of you who don't know, Stockton Rush did Ocean Gate. What was it called? The Cyclops? What was it? No, what was the next one called? We look it up. We look up what the Stockton Rush is. It was originally the Cyclops. The Titan? Is that what it was?
Titan Submersible.
Titan.
Yeah.
So he was someone who thought he was smarter than he was, had this idea, decided that carbon fiber was going to be the right thing to make a sub out of, even though everybody knew it is not the right material. That's why nobody did it, because it wasn't a good idea. But it was like his privilege made him think he was the smartest boy around, and everything he did, he was the smartest. And it's like, that is what this leads to. Like, this privileged idea is like, that's an extreme example where he ends up taking down millionaires who also think nothing can happen to them because of their privilege. Nothing has. So everybody thinks they're going to be fine. Like, that's the idea. That's the extreme showing of like what that type of ideology does to people, where it's like, I'm the most privileged. But like, this is a small scale of that, right? Where it's like, I was just thinking because he was a legacy. He was an intense legacy. Every time I hear legacy, I think of Stockton Rush. But so we see that here in the sense of like, it's like, well, no, I should get to do what I want to do. And if you are, if anything is intervening with that, the problem is that, and I should crush it. Like, the problem is not like that women are now doing well now that they're not being held back. Like, because to me, what you're saying is, oh, we held back women. Now we don't. Now they're doing well. We got to fix that. So my assumption is, do you want to hold back women? Because what else is the, what is the solve then? That what more can we give to men? You have given them everything.
And that's the issue is, and this is one thing that always comes up too, is like, there's a difference between a group rising, which would make sense if women have to go through more structurally, why they would, when given equal access, which they still don't have equal access. There's still structural issues that hold women back.
Of course.
Compared to men. But like, if when given closer to equal access, why they would rise above, because they've had to do the same. That goes for most things in our society. But the, it literally is. There is no structural things in play. Like, the Title IX is a perfect example of something that like was put in place because school. I think we talked about this before on the podcast, where like schools had in place laws that said if you got pregnant, you could be kicked out of college. Right, laws that said that there were certain like engineering and certain degrees where less than 5% of the student body was only, or less than 5% of admits were allowed to be women. Right, there was specific, and like sexual assault wasn't required to be investigated on campuses until Title IX. Right, there's all of these very big things that matter, and obviously, in people, I remember somebody. Fucking idiot. Excuse my language. It was trying to argue. Why is that part of Title IX? Because people being assaulted and not being investigated makes them leave college, right? Like, aside from the legal ramifications, because equal access to college also means equal safety, access to safety in college. Anyways, but they have like these. Those were on the books. I don't think people realize often how explicitly what's the word I'm looking for. Explicitly structural these constraints were that stopped women from getting access to the same thing. Sports, right. So obviously, where 99% of the funding would go to male sports programs, things like that. And that's what we even see that with even the sports science, it's still like that. 95% of sports science, I think, was, or something like that. I don't remember the exact statistic, is still toward what helps men. And you wonder, well, why aren't women catching up as much? I'm like, maybe you look at the actual what our money is going toward. But the whole point is that you have all of these actual explicit discriminatory policies. And once you get rid of those, none of those are there for men. None of those are there for white men. None of those are for straight white men, especially, right? There are still, undercurrents of discrimination that exist for anyone that doesn't look and sound like me, right? Those all still exist. They're just not allowed to be as, but that's what Make America Great Again is, right? They're all trying to bring back the time where you could just openly discriminate against people that weren't in your country club growing up and call it a day, because it's upsetting to them that they actually have to hire the best people. They actually have to bring in the best people and not just the people that they like, which unfortunately the people you like is often espoused in your brand of racism, misogyny, etc. Like, you hear on how many men openly just hate women online. Do you think they're going to bring in a woman for a long-term position at their company? You know, one of those guys that is openly espoused how much they just like can't understand hanging out with women. All women's hobbies are boring. I don't even get how you could be friends with a woman. Oh, yeah, but sure. Let's share an office for the next 20 years. Of course you're going to have that be there. Oh, no, I have no policy against not hiring women. It just happens the entire hiring committee is men who don't like women. So, but I'm sure they're going to be objective in looking at
it. It won't be a problem.
It won't be a problem at all.
It's frustrating and yet validating to see how they behave, because it's like, it's so obvious that they're more upfront than they've ever had to be before. Mm-hmm. Now that they're saying this, now that they're flat out being like, well, you know, we have stopped withholding rights from you, even though they still are. And you're doing better now. And that's a problem, actually. That's a problem for us. We don't like it. Like, when I hear people saying the statistic that women are, how we're outpacing them, you know, with education or in the workforce, or it's more equal in the workforce. Mm-hmm. And they're saying this again in that negative way, as if this is a negative thing that's happening. When, you know, I can already hear someone online be like, well, if you heard that men were doing that, wouldn't that be bad if men were outpacing? It's like, Well, that would be because of the structural issues at hand, the ways that we, you know, hold back women, but like it just across the board, like the ways that we punish them for being moms, as you've pointed out, like there's so many ways that women are held back. So it's like it's because it's uneven. Opportunity is uneven structurally because of the misogyny that goes on, because of the patriarchy. Mm. That's why there's an issue. If everything is more equal for everybody and somebody happens to be doing better, that's not a problem. And pretending that it is solely because it's women that happen to be doing better, it's just misogyny. That's all it is. And it's crazy, but it's validating.
Only until the age of 30. The stats still show that once there becomes this huge shift at that point, because that's roughly when the average age when people start having children now, then there's this huge. So even with all of these shifts that's going on, only till 30 years old, and that's still very young.
And that's still very
young. That is reason enough about why we need a complete overhaul of the system and why it's only men that are suffering. But the reason we hear about it is because when the generations of women that were held back didn't violently have an uprising against men, right? It was like they fought in the courts, they fought in the thing. Same with like you look at the violence obviously does happen sometimes when you look at that. Sometimes that's what it takes to cause some sort of change. But it's when it's so bad, right, that it's so horrifically bad, sometimes violence ends up being the thing that moves the needle. It's not so horrific that what men are getting violent about is equality. That was enough.
Yeah.
Like the notion that they might be behind.
For a short amount of time.
For a short period. For less than a decade of time.
They're like, wait!
Is enough to cause violent reactions and complete overhauls of institutions, and where every single fucking thing is about how do we help these poor men. Right. When it took before we ever got to a point where we decided to make laws helping women, they didn't have the right to vote. Right. They literally were required to stay in abusive, like violent marriages. They were all of these other horrific things that existed. Like I said, where there were laws on the books that were punishing women for being women. Right. Where it took for before there was even a long, and it was still a decades long fight to get any of these things passed. But no. For me as a man, the thing that pisses me off is it feels so demeaning in saying that we are not capable of doing better as men, right? That we're just these poor little boys who just don't know any better. We just, what do we do?
I don't even know. It's only ever like used to excuse things for men. Like the whole defense of like, we need help. Like, or, you know, it's the same thing as like weaponized incompetence. Like it's only ever used when they want something in return. Like if you ever were to say that, like if you ever were to talk to these men and be like, yeah, you're being outpaced by women. Like women are just women are better. Mm-hmm. Like if you ever were to be like, oh, well, you're just not. I have to explain things to you really explicitly because you just don't understand.
Right.
Men are like, what are you talking? Don't. How dare you patronize me? But then we're like, it's used as an excuse, like weaponize incompetence. Or in this case, like, oh, they need help. Then all of a sudden men are cool with being spoken to that way. Right.
But only when it's in that very specific, it has to be done in a way that is demeaning to women.
Yes.
That's the only way to do it. And I think people misread. Well, like, I have a son, right? I want my son to flourish. I would love him to be, but I want him to flourish in a world like in the way that I have flourished in this world, right? I want him to flourish in a way that doesn't require the subjugation of other people. Right. And if you have actual confidence in yourself, if you have an actual ability to do things, you don't need to take power away from others to have success. They know that a lot of these guys are fucking mediocre as shit, though, who decided not to get any education, decided not to do anything, and just try to float by in the way that men could 20 years ago, right? It was just simply easy to just exist as a man and find a wife because she couldn't get a bank account without you 30 or 40 years ago, right? And so you were going to find someone that would put up with your bullshit and put up with your not doing anything around the house, put up with your whatever it is about it. That's not the world we live in now. And right. there's two ways to approach it. Either we build better men from the mm-hmm. ground up, we raise our boys to acknowledge the reality of the world we live in and try to be better people in it, or we try to push everything back to the way it was when things were, when I was a little boy, when men still had 100% of the power, and it was like on paper, like when it was open, it was okay to be openly discriminatory everybody else.
That feels like what we're doing. I mean, that's the shift. That's mm-hmm. what we're doing. That's what like the red pill, mm-hmm. pink pill, like that's what that post is. Mm-hmm. We're not getting to the bad husband.
No, we're already.
He's a bad husband, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But like, that's what that is, mm-hmm. it's the subtle ways of pushing us back to the mm-hmm. old ways we used to behave by making
trad wife is literally called trad wife, right? It's traditional. It's the old, yeah.
But it's also like making it seem like it's almost like their violent, aggressive response to women having more rights, to women having better, having the ability to have boundaries, I want to say. Because it's not that women didn't have boundaries, it's that we could not have boundaries. So it's the violent reaction to that, as well as the crippling effects of capitalism, is now being used to like sway women. Oh, wouldn't it be nicer if you were just at home? Wouldn't it be nicer if you didn't have to work? Wouldn't it be nicer if a man took care of you and protected you from these bad incel men?
And that's
these
violent... the benevolent sexism of...
Yeah, benevolent misogyny.
Of course it would. I've had conversations with my mom about that, where, you know, she worked two full-time jobs my entire life. She was a single mom working very, very difficult. And there are times where she'll be like, that would have been nice. Like because obviously nobody likes working. Like, especially if you're working at a shitty, shitty job.
Of course.
Right? And so, like, the offer of it, like, I get why the attraction is there, but if you have to sell your soul for it, right? If you have to turn yourself into a property with no rights and
but it's also like that's not what it is.
And also no choice to the difference is I am fully in support of people choose. We've talked about this before. You can choose to live. If that's something that you believe brings you joy, I am not the one that's going to tell you no. You can't. That can't be. You can't find happiness that way. Right.
The point is that you're not going to do that because no one should have that done to them in any way. Work or you shouldn't. But it's also the fact that that's not the life you're going to lead, and you're not going to lead the influencer life. Most women who are forced into, or some who agree to the trad wife life. Are not the polished version of that, are not the influencer version, are not the I can go out to eat whenever I want, I have the money to buy whatever clothes I want. It's like I'm at home all day by myself. I make every meal. I do every chore. I take care of the kids, usually multiple kids. You don't have help. You're very isolated. Like that's, again, the hypocrisy of the women who sell this online, because they don't know the crippling effects of what that can be, and that's who they're selling it to. You're selling a lifestyle to people who will feel effects that you never will, and, like, the negative effects that are not part of your life.
Right.
And the control that you refer to is one that you don't actually experience, because clearly she wears her sports bra and videos, but she's selling that control is love. And so they're selling this idea to women who are then going to be trapped into it. And that's the scary thing and the scary part. And it's just, it's sad to see, like, I hold these women accountable. Definitely the men accountable. But I do hold women accountable who sell a lifestyle that they don't lead, knowing the harm that can come to women who buy what they're selling.
Because they're also selling the notion. I think the harm especially is they're selling the notion that there are women who exist who actually love this kind of lifestyle. When we saw even in the Manosphere, like the clips from that documentary, that even in these guys who are the figureheads of this horrific movement of men don't treat that way, and their wives actually would not actually put up with that.
And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that, like, I was going to mention, I got off on a side tangent, but the aspect of I'm going to protect you. They're utilizing the worst cases of misogyny that are inspired by the same ideology. Like, it is the ideology that women should be at home and men should be the providers, and these gender roles that get so mad when women succeed. And then men are lashing out based on that ideology. And then the same ideology is saying, oh, come to us, we'll protect you from yourselves. Oh, we're a better version of bad. That's what it is. 100%. You know, I'll control you, but at least, you know, I'll like you sometimes. I'll like that you're a mother. You know, I will protect, like, I might not protect you from me necessarily, but I will protect you when a big bad guy, like, from the dangers of the world that I and my mentality have created. I'll protect you from that. It's like, hey, if you guys stop fucking having an ideology, what would you protect us from? What are the protectors protecting us from, if not men? Men from that ideology, because men, just plain men without patriarchy and misogyny aren't doing that shit. Right. It is based in these belief systems. So, like, take that away and you'd have nothing to protect us for. But you bank on the violence that you stoke with your ideology to then protect us from, because the reality is if that was gone, you'd have nothing to protect.
100%.
There'd be no enemy. Your currency would go to nothing. And that's why that's the sickness of the system. And the thing that infuriates me is it's like, it's a self-perpetuating thing. And now they're like, oh, the system that we've done has become volatile. Right. Let's weaponize that volatility and get even more women into it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord help us. Well, I think that's about it for today.
It was a lot of rants today from both of us. And I think it's good times.
We're ranting and raving. We love it.
We love it.
Thank you so much for being here. Make sure to check out our socials. Check out the Patreon. And other than that, friends, we will see you next.
Find out on our Patreon why I don't have a cast on.
Oh, my God. Please find out on the Patreon why his cast is no longer with us.
I'll share it eventually.
For those who are not viewing us, Chesco had a cast last week and does not have a cast today. Check the Patreon to find out why.
Love you, everybody.
Love you. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.